Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself in the process. Your host is Lynn Crocker. Each week, Lynn demystifies your brain's processes and shows you how to utilize tools that you already possess to identify habitual thought patterns that are not serving you. You'll hear from Lynn and other industry experts who will help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out. This is all right here on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today, I will be chatting with Pat Wastervall. Pat is a goal coach, and unlike a life coach or business coach, she focuses on one thing, helping people achieve their goals. As a goal coach, Pat gives her clients the necessary tools to apply action into whatever they want to accomplish in their lives. Pat's 10 years of motivating people to achieve their goals is including teaching seminars at numerous venues, including Elizabeth Seton Women's Center, LaGuardia Junior College, and the Tri-State Acupuncture Center in Manhattan. Her clients have gone on to direct a movie, write a novel, host a one-woman art show, be part of the national tour of The Color Purple, and even get married. She is author of the Go-Getter's Guidebook, a motivational jumping-off point full of inspiring calls to action and new ways of approaching goals. It includes specific suggestions on what someone can do to make changes necessary to begin creating the life they want. I know for me, working and setting goals is essential. You know, I cannot imagine what it would be like to negotiate my way through my days without a plan and a destination in mind. But in the work I do, I see this as a challenge for many people. So I'm very excited to have Pat on my show to share a few of her insights with listeners. So let's just get started. Hi, Pat. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Before we dive into talking about how to really accomplish the goals, give listeners a little bit of background about yourself and, you know, how you decided to become a goal coach.
Oh, that's a great question, Lynn. Thank you for asking. My beginning was with the empty nest syndrome. I had two children that I stayed home with and raised, and they went off to college. And I was left with an empty house, literally, no one around. I was downsizing a little bit, and I was literally starting over. And I went back to work for a huge oil company back in Houston, Texas. And about 6 months into the job, my coworker said, you know, Pat, we really need to do our goals. And I said, oh, no, that's only for guys with gold watches and sports cars. And she coaxed me in, and we started doing spreadsheets on each other. And Lynn, soon after that, I sold my house after being there for 25 years. Wow. I packed up and moved to New York City, my dream of all dreams.
Wow.
And I'd actually started the goal coaching when I got laid off. And I started doing a syllabus and getting clients. And what happened with my goal coach, I mean, my coworker, which she turned into be my goal coach, turned into something really phenomenal. So that's a little bit about the beginning for me.
Yeah, so it sounds like you took the opportunity of this empty nest syndrome. You know, it sounds like you went back to work, and then you started seeing the benefit of setting goals because of what you were able to achieve.
Absolutely, because I really poured myself into my children's lives, and then my coworker said, you know, Pat, you don't have to move out, but you have to move on. And I thought that was brilliant, and I said, well, Contina, what do I do? And we started, like I said, she would ask me about goal one, and I'd say, well, I didn't do too much about goal one. She said, well, then we have to go to goal two.
Right.
So we did this process, and she ended up doing a lot of exciting things, and so did I, and I saw the benefit of that, and then I did my own research. I've been doing research for many years on my own, but as we know, Lynn, sometimes our goals do get put on the shelf.
They absolutely do, and that's what I wanted to start talking about now, is that, you know, most people do have a vague sense of what they want to accomplish, but they find that it's very hard to move from this vague concept into action, and even if they know the steps they need to take, it's just hard to get going. So how does someone begin that process of setting goals?
Well, that's a great question, too. What I do is, first I have a little meet and greet with somebody, and I try to find out what's going on with them, because we have to kind of sift out a little of the goings-on and what is actually happening in their lives. And then, when we do get to meet, we have to write everything down. I really do insist that my clients write everything down, and we do experience it together, and then we write the steps down that they have to take. And then, for instance, I'm meeting with somebody tonight. I met with him 3 weeks ago. We're going to just kind of do a little of a catch-up and see where he is. And that way, I know when I met with this coworker, we used to do it in our lunch hour. She actually asked me about each goal. And, you know, Lynn, if I hadn't done anything about something, I felt that I really wasn't moving towards that goal. So it's really, that's the first step. And then we do talk about a lot of other qualities, and I'm sure you're familiar with all of those.
Yeah, but let's talk about those. So I'm hearing for listeners, you know, the first step is to write it down. I agree that's really important to get it out of one's head. And when you say write it down, do you mean physically write it out using... Yeah, because there is that connection between the brain and the hand, right?
That is awesome, yes. And I love to, as I said, I was always a go-getter in my own mind, and I'm sure we all feel that we were. But it was a hit or miss. I would do some things, a lot of time would pass. This is a whole different ballgame. It's a real blueprint. There's, you know, action steps. I love to look at my goals and just review them and just, you know, have different strategies to go about actually making them happen.
Right. So I love what you just said about blueprint. That's exactly it. So once it is on paper, it's written down, somebody can go back, refer to it, and it's easy, so don't lose sight of the goals. Because as we know, life gets in the way. You know, you referenced that somebody may be very motivated for a goal, have something very clear in mind. It's not written down anywhere. Something happens, 3 weeks later they go back and go, what was I doing?
They may have forgotten about it, you know?
Yeah, so I love the writing it down. So how important is motivation and attitude towards achieving goals?
Oh, my goodness, I'm so glad you asked. That is on the top of my list for the action qualities. The first thing is the motivation, and we have to find out what motivates people. You know, I think a lot of the fear dissipates when they finally decide, well, I really want to do this, and I really don't want to do this. And so we go over that. It really provides a guideline for what's going to be coming down the pike for them. It also sparks their initiative, and we do talk about the motivation and, you know, do you really want to do this? Do you want to stay in that job that you've been in for 15 years or just try something on the side for a little bit? The attitude, actually, I have talked about it as an action quality because we have to change that ourselves. There's nothing that can change our attitude. Of course, you know, a check in the mail or maybe a piece of chocolate cake, but we really have to, you know, the attitude really will shape our willingness to do what it takes. I really talk a lot about attitude with people, and I find that if they can change it a little bit, it can really give them that willingness to go ahead with their goals.
Yeah, and getting back to when you were talking about motivation, it's, you've made the point that it's important to find out what motivates people, and it's sounding from what you said to find out why they want to achieve this goal. If the goal is to lose weight, which it is for a lot of people, or get in shape, why? You know, find out what is the motivation. If the motivation is to, you know, impress the, you know, gentleman down the block, then that may not be a motivating factor. It really has to come more from within.
Yeah, and I find that once the action is taken, then that really starts to bring it more into focus. And I say moving into action can do a lot for you, and it's, I have said this before, I use it as a commercial, because when we find out something can be done for us, well, then maybe moving into the action will do a lot for you.
I listened to a couple interviews that you'd done, and you talked about self-confidence, and this might be what you mean, because I think, again, a lot of people, if they've tried to achieve goals and have fallen short for various reasons, and they don't have the confidence and the trust within themselves that they actually can achieve a goal. So, as you're saying, taking some action and seeing some success, it builds confidence, right?
It does, Lynn. It's amazing. I think that, again, we think we can grab it out of the air. We can maybe read a few books. I've read many, many self-help books, and they've been very helpful, without a doubt. But I really find that the self-confidence comes from taking the action, taking the risk, getting out of my comfort zone, when I can tell somebody, yes, I did this. And then you have a real surge of energy after you have the confidence to do what you love to do and do it. It's amazing what it can do. And I really feel that there, I like the word demystify. I saw that on your website. And we like to take the mystery out of all this. People say self-confidence. What is it? How can I get it? And it really, it's not that mysterious. If I tell my client, why don't you go on that audition and see what it brings? Oh, my gosh. And then I'm working with a woman that's writing a book. After she finished 7 chapters, the self-confidence. Again, I mentioned that in one of my interviews. She just was bursting with self-confidence. So I like to see the self-confidence come out, but I'm not a magician. I can't make it happen.
And that's a very good point, and I bring this home a lot on my show when I talk to people and try to get that message out to listeners. It's, you as a coach can't force anybody to do anything. You provide the tools, you provide some insight, but the client has to take the action, has to do it themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. It's a level of self-responsibility. No, I know one of the things that somebody could say gets in the way of achieving goals is they don't have time. So talk a little bit about time management and the various time sucks that we have around us these days.
Yes, I like what you said about the time suck. And I call them confidence crushers, or I guess, you know, we were talking about time management as a very important tool. I'm not buying that people don't have time. Mm-hmm. I hate to say that. I sound too harsh when I say that. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's really about valuing our time. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that I do a part-time job too, and so I have to really be aware of my time, my energy, where is it being put. I have a calendar and I put dots on it where my time is being sent and spent, and some of the blocks have 10 dots. I wonder what I'm doing. Why aren't I spending more time over here? And so I really do work on time management. I also find that I'm working with somebody now that everybody wants a piece of that person. I want you to do this. I want you to do that.
Yeah.
So I have to teach my people, my clients, to say, I'd love to do that, but it doesn't look like it's very convenient for me right now. Maybe we can talk about it another time, which means that surely you can do the same work with them at another point in time. But if it's really distracting you, people have to learn to say, you know, let's talk about it for next week or the next month.
Yeah, so protecting their time a little bit. That's a very good point. A lot of people do give away their time.
Exactly. And so we talk a lot about time management. And then when you're working with somebody, you see clearly, well, why couldn't you do this? What were you doing instead? And then I don't want to be like the, you know, the person with the yardstick on the wrist, but I'm saying, you know, I don't know if I would have done those photo shoots for 2 to 3 days when you were supposed to be doing this. You know, and I find that I have to be aware of that as well. And I get to do so many things when I really take my day and plan it. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, and let's talk about that, planning the day. For me, I'm definitely a planner, and I see the benefits of outlining my day's activities, not a rigid schedule, but getting a sense of what I want to accomplish. But people really resist that. So why?
Well, they want to sort of let the things happen. And again, this goes back to the accountability, and if they're used to letting things happen, you know, hit or miss, then planning a day, you know, on a weekly basis becomes a little bit of a challenge. I just make sure that they're looking at the steps that they have to take for the different goals and trying to fit them in. And, you know, just seeing, you know, if you have to have this done by next Wednesday, then you just have to really try to put that in. I think people want to have a little bit of spontaneity in their life as well, so they don't want to be, like you said, I like the word rigid. I don't like to use that word either, because we don't want to be like little soldiers. But I have people say to me, oh, you do so much. Oh, you went there? You did that? Oh, how did you do that? And so I say, well, this is my day, and I had a day off, and I did this, and I end up with this. So it's really, I call it a puzzle. You put it together, and if you want to have more time on your hands and maximize your time, then you're going to have to do this. It's a little bit of an exercise, but when people let 2 or 3 days go by and they've slept most of the day or they've been drinking coffee all day, that's just losing a little bit of ground. And I don't want to be like a soldier, but I really like to come back from my days off and say, oh, I went to the park and I played tennis and I went to the movies and I saw a play, and they go, oh my gosh. And I'm thinking, but it's easy, and I don't know about you, but I don't feel rushed.
Exactly. And you brought up the word spontaneity, and I know that's, again, the pushback I get back from people. But what I say is that when I have an outline plan for my day, it actually creates a lot of freedom and a lot of opportunity for magical moments to come in, because I'm not rushed. I'm in the moment. I'm paying attention to what's around me. And, yeah, and you get to do some really fun things instead of wasting an entire morning kind of tooling about the house, cleaning or whatever doesn't necessarily have to be done right then. You know.
Exactly. Like, I don't use my day off to do laundry. I usually do it in the evening. I do it at opportune moments. I'm not going to take a whole day and do my laundry, and the sun's out and I can play tennis. And another thing, too, is that, like you said, you have more spontaneity actually built in, because you've bookended it with activities that are very important to you. And that they're exciting for you. And then in the meantime, there are little moments that are open up for us. And I think because we're in a good mood and we've done something for ourselves or we've done some service for someone or we've actually, you know, made it a day for ourselves, then we're in a better frame of mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I completely agree. So a step towards having people get control of their time or their time management, you had made a suggestion before of maybe having people track their time to pay attention to, I've heard people say, I go online, I'll just get lost in Facebook. You know, 2 hours pass by, and I'm just like, wow. So, so then logging that, right? And admitting, going through the day, for a week having something, I watched TV for 3 hours, I spent 2 hours on Facebook, I did it, and seeing that that is not satisfying.
No, and I'm kind of new to Facebook, and I thought, how did I miss my station? Oh, my gosh, I actually missed a few stations, and I had to walk back. Mm-hmm. I think it's because when I look at a day, I have a block, like I said, and I have dots where I'm spending my energy, but I also have another calendar where I jot in what I've done, and I feel so good at the end of the month. I review my month.
Hmm.
You know, this all sounds very tedious, but it's exciting because I say to myself, wow, I did see the people I wanted to see. I connected with that person. I took that opportunity to do whatever it was that I've been wanting to do. And it's a sense of accomplishment. And it's just, I think it's a precious thing this time we have, Lynn. And I've had some people in my family pass away recently, and I realize now how very precious it is.
Mm.
And reference to say that I'm glad I spent the time I did with all the people that are no longer with me, but I have to say it's really spurred me on even more that there are opportunities, and if we don't take them, they are really lost. And I give that example of somebody giving you $10,000 and they say, well, you have to spend it all day or you have to give it back.
Wow.
So I like to use my time as a very precious commodity.
Well, it absolutely is. And so is this one of the things that you work with your clients on, is this time management of really seeing where they're spending their time and where the time is being wasted?
Yes, I give them that calendar. Now, they're not too excited about the calendar, but I do give it to them. And there's another, like I said, I have the calendar with the dates on it, but the other one has different categories, like financial or physical, spiritual. And then across the top is, Monday through Sunday. And then you start just putting little dots where you did things, and of course that can be coincided with the other calendar. It's a little bit more complicated, but it certainly is very telling, because even just by writing some things down, I can't really tell where my energy is going. So I like to look on the other calendar with the dots and say, ooh, there are a lot of dots in having fun, but am I taking care of this part? You know, and the other one is blank. So I do that for myself because I really feel my life is very important and I want to be fruitful and productive.
Yeah, and you want each day to be satisfying.
Exactly.
You want to wrap up the day and even the month. I love that, looking back to the month and seeing what you accomplished. It just, again, then builds that confidence and spurs on for the next month to continue this process. And that's great. So let's say you have a client that you're presenting this information to and these materials, and they're just resistant. They're saying, I don't want to do this. This is too much. This is too rigid. Are they just not ready? Or how do you deal with a potential client like that?
Well, I usually get that when I first meet with them.
Okay.
Because I do try to tell them, that this is what we're going to be doing. After they tell me about what's going on with them, I kind of have a little overview of the process. And I did have a couple of people say, well, do I have to do something? And you heard that in the other, when I talked to Dan, and they said, I don't really want to do too much. And I said, well, maybe this isn't for you.
Right.
And I've had several people be referred to me, but I think when they hear that they have to take some action and I really do a lot of tracking, that may not be very appealing to a lot of people. Again, the hit or miss, they have it in their head. They may want to just continue on, doing their daily lives. And I call it being on your own. Going forward, and I call it like a bumper car. You're sort of in a car, and then you may bump a car. That was always a thing to do when we had the rides at the circus.
Right.
But then you may hit the car over there, but then you may go around the whole ride and not hit one car. So I always think of the bumper car ride when I'm doing something on my own. It's just like, well, I'll go out and see what's happening, and it doesn't seem to be very fruitful for me, but it may work for them. So I usually find that out at the beginning because I do line out my plan of action. It's usually resisted at the very, very beginning when we have our first meet and greet.
Yeah, so somebody's very clear at the beginning of what's going to be expected of them, and if you're sensing a lot of resistance, then you may just say, either you're not ready or this just isn't for you.
Yeah.
You know, we know the people we work with, and I'm not obviously judging anybody, but I see people that, no, I don't want to plan, this isn't for me, I'm going to go about my day, and it's just what you said, I love the bumper car analogy. They're just sort of going around, and then they are really at that whim of other people's desires, you know, a whim of TV. So you really, it's easy to get sucked into lots of different distractions when you don't have a plan. We don't have...
Yeah, and my experience too, Lynn, is that I'll hear them, and I'll run into them later on, and they'll be talking about it,
mm-hmm.
which I used to do myself. I was very much a talker, and I would talk and talk, and then about 2 years would go by, and somebody would say, are you still talking about doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So I realize now that when we do this process, that subsides because you're actually doing something about it. And that sort of talking it out with friends and family goes away because you're actually taking the action. But I find if I'm working with somebody that says, oh, I don't really want to do that, I know one gentleman I was supposed to work with, and then he continued to talk about doing what he was going to do with me 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But and then I think people feel that's a way of actually making them feel as if they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about it. I want to do this next week. I'm going to do this. And then 1 year goes by.
Mm-hmm.
Then another year goes by. And since I've been doing this tracking for almost 13 years now,
wow.
I started a little earlier than I did when I started the goal coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I find that, oh, my gosh, I'm living in New York City.
Yeah.
I'm doing my goal coaching. It's truly amazing. And so I think that discussion about it goes away when you actually get down to business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, because you're doing. You're not talking, you're doing.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an interesting guideline, you know, to be able to tell if somebody's, as you're saying, ready or not ready or willing to do
yeah.
the work. So how much does visualization come into play when people are working towards goals? Do you talk about that at all?
Yes. Well, you know, that is one of the things I do a little bit later on
mm-hmm.
because we, you know, do a lot of writing and we do a lot of talking about the action qualities.
Okay.
And we do talk about the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you know, want to go over that. And then I do talk about taking a risk. But the visualization actually for my clients comes a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually ask them to write a paragraph about what they see themselves doing.
Mm.
And then they can meditate on this paragraph. Mm. Or they can meditate first and then write a paragraph. So I actually have two exercises I have them do. But I have to tell you, Lynn, that usually comes a little bit later.
Okay.
I have to say that comes maybe 3 or 4 months after we get into the action qualities. And
right.
Because they're so busy taking care of all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And trying, like you said, trying to do the time management, trying to fend off people, trying to, you know, communicate how they feel about something. Like, I really can't do that. I'm trying to give them the language to be gracious and say, you know, I can't do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes a lot of energy, Lynn. And then I wait a little bit, and then I start talking about, let's write this paragraph about what you see yourself doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have quite a bit of information that I give them. And I do ask them very gently to put meditation into the mix.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a resistance to sometimes people aren't used to meditating. I just tell them to be quiet for 5 minutes, just to think about what they're moving towards
mm-hmm.
and to actually see themselves doing what they're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how your clients work that, but I have to wait a little while. It seems that
mm-hmm.
it's so much at the beginning because these people that usually come have a lot on their plate,
right.
And so we have to sift through a lot of the action qualities and
mm-hmm.
some of the steps and get some things going before they're ready for the visualization. But I do have that in my package.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. It sounds like it's almost like you're taking care of, you know, business in the beginning. You're getting
mm-hmm.
the goals out, getting the action plans, getting people to keep track of how they're spending their time, and making different commitments to use their time in a different way. So I can see
exactly.
how that would take a while.
Yeah, exactly. And what happens, too, Lynn, is that while we're doing the process that you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
they're starting to see some things come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the magic starts.
Right.
So I feel that's a good time for me to jump in and say, okay, I really want to have you write a paragraph. Actually, for me, in all these years, I've only written 3 visualization paragraphs.
Mm.
And they've been amazing. And I always feel there's a time when I should do that. Like, it's time for me to really, it's maybe usually another level where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And then I write a paragraph, and then I continue to look at it. I meditate on it.
Okay.
I close my eyes, and I say, those are some new things that I want to do. But it's, as you see, for me, it's even only been 3 times. So I really kind of go gently with that because I think it's a real important paragraph, and it's one that's going to be very precious to them as they do this process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Actually, makes quite a bit of sense to me. So we're getting got about 3-4 more minutes left, and I want to talk about the Go-Getters Guidebook, your book.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, tell listeners a little bit about that book and sort of your intention behind it.
Thank you very much for asking. It's something I've always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started this, I have handouts, and I have a little package that I give people. And about 3 years ago, maybe it was even more than that, maybe 4 years ago, I got this idea that I wanted to do a book, but not a real book,
mm-hmm.
because I am a self-help junkie. I've read so many books, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can say the same, but I didn't really want to write a book. I wanted to write something like it was a guidebook, and I actually went to the travel section of Barnes & Noble, and I said, I'd like to see my book in the travel section, because I really wanted it to be a very easy guide. I actually, at the beginning, says it's a very small guide for the go-getter, all blogged into one, because it was suggested to me that I do a blog, and I said, you know, I'm so busy with my clients, and I'm busy writing my handouts, I don't know if I want to do a blog.
Yeah.
But when I look at my guidebook, it looks like a blog, and it's kind of an outcome of the guide sheets that I have already printed up for my clients.
Mm-hmm.
But my son is an artist, so he did all the illustrations, so it's a fun book as well.
Uh-huh.
There's a Superman in there that he created that is really hilarious, and it's something that somebody can refer to.
Mm-hmm.
I carry it around in my pocketbook, and I just pull it out, and I start reading it sometimes, and it has all the points that we've talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
And they can just flip through it if they want to read a little bit about attitude or a little bit about self-confidence or comfort zone. It's really a great reference, and I give it to all my clients, and I'm now in the process of promoting it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to see where it goes.
Yeah, I think I like what you're saying. It's just referring to it as a guidebook. It sounds like it's very practical. It's not something that a client can really get lost in, meaning you made the reference to reading the self-help books, and I think a lot of people do get kind of stuck in that place of, I need to read more, I need to learn more, I need to learn more. And it's like, well, you know, perhaps you know enough and you just need to apply it. You need to get going. So.
Okay, very right. I call it the Cliff Notes of the Go-Getters Guide to Achieving Goals. It's when we had the Cliff Notes, we didn't want to read the whole book.
Right.
We just kind of flipped through, and this is, like I said, a quick, easy reference guide, and it can get somebody on their way easily, even without a goal coach.
Yeah. Yeah, so kind of getting started, getting introduced to some of the concepts that we've talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds great. So I know you can get that, or listeners can get that on the website, your website, which is gogetternyc.com.
Absolutely.
That's the best place to go for that.
Yes.
And then from there, they could contact you if they wanted to get some coaching or...
Absolutely. They can email me. They can contact me.
What's your email address?
pvasterval@gmail.com.
So that's P and then WASTERVAL@gmail.com.
Yes. Yes.
And the website, again, is gogetternyc.com.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a couple ways to get in touch.
And I'm on Twitter. It's gogetternyc. I'm tweeting.
Oh, great.
So they can find me there. I was doing 3 a day, but I'm down to 1 a day. So I was very gung-ho, but I'm at least tweeting. So that's good.
That's great. So, well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's always short and sweet, but I think we got a great overview on why it's important to set goals, you know, why it's important to write them down, importance of motivation, attitude, paying attention to time management. So I think this has been a really great overview. And just, again, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you, Lynn, for having me.
Great. And so, listeners, again, you can access Pat at gogetternyc.com. There's the Go-Getters Guidebook on her website. Be sure to check that out and just, you know, continue to create your reality. And thank you for tuning in today.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Tune in next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time to hear more from Lynn and her guests. If you want to re-listen to this show or previous shows, you can find them at createyourrealityradio.com or createyourreality.podomatic.com. Thanks for listening.